Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Now 70 for the Houston Astros after a wild 4-3 win over the Padres in 10 innings last night, where both teams end up angry at the umpires after the game, and Jose Altuve gets ejected while taking not only his cleat off, but his sock off to show that he had fouled a ball off of his foot.
I was just wondering, like, what he's got next in his bag. Like last time he just got very, very angry.
Yeah.
And now he took the shoe off and the sock.
Shoe?
Like just what's next?
Shoe gone, sock gone. I wonder.
A thrown shoe? Is.
Oh.
Like, you know.
He's going to throw it at an umpire like he's George W. Bush?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be dangerous and probably considered assault.
Oh, they are metal
deadly
spikes.
Weapon.
Yeah, that's a suspension, I bet.
I don't know. I mean, with the amount of people that hate Altuve, and especially since it seems like he's back in the good graces of national writers. I feel like at least one my column, probably coming from New York, would say that Jose Altuve needs to be banned for life and that Congress needs to do an investigation into the buzzer.
It does feel like it's on its way. The real anger. Maybe that's why it hasn't been too bad besides the Barstool blog.
Just Barstool hubs.
Yeah.
For now. We'll see. It was a passing comment. I'm sorry. I'm not letting that slide. And if you want to sick him, go ahead, sick him.
Mm.
Joe even said in the last segment, you know what? Bullying in certain circumstances is okay.
Yeah, and I think bullying Yankees fans about, you know, trying to, you know, pass on this Jose Altuve buzzer narrative is a fair time to bully someone.
Right. If Astros fans if you guys are being true to yourself, being a bully, this is a target. Just say it, because he had a little column about it on Barstool today. So they're up 5 games in the American League West on the Seattle Mariners. They have a 98.3% chance of winning the division per Fangraphs. They're 4.5 games back of the Cleveland Guardians with a 12.6% chance of clinching a bye. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility, but it is looking rather unlikely, at least as things currently stand. So I want to jump in talking about the Astros and the refs last night. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join on Twitch at ESPN975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. I do think the umpires, as wrong as they were, made last night's game significantly more entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely brought a new wrinkle to a baseball game that we've never seen before. I mean, when you have multiple moments in a game where just like, I don't think I've ever seen this.
I was clueless. I think in the moment, Todd and Jeff, like, how would you know what the hell was going on?
What was the most confusing one? For me, it was Hader. I was so confused on what was happening with Josh Hader with the disengagement, and then they were just talking and talking. And I'm like, what is happening right now?
For me, it was Profar. I mean, he got on base.
I know.
It took me, small baseball brain here. But when Profar was getting angry, I was like, wait, what? What is he? He got on base. He thought he was going to get a hit. Mm-hmm. You think he was going to do something there?
Yeah, he wanted the moment. He wanted to be the hero.
The glory boy.
Yeah, he threw a tantrum so he couldn't be, you know, the hero of the night.
Yeah. It was fun, and the umpires apparently were getting leered at, if not almost jumped, on their way out of the ballpark.
Do you think like Manny Machado takes any offense to that? For even though he had a home run earlier in the game, but he's the guy who comes up with bases loaded after Profar is hit/not hit, and Profar is freaking out, and Machado's like, "Hey man, Like, I got a $300 million contract. Like,
I'm Manny Machado.
Like, I'm Manny Machado. Like, we're going to be okay. Now, they weren't okay. But, like, in the moment, it's like, you think that little of Manny Machado that, like, you're like, hey, I'm Jerickson Profar. I got to be that guy.
It's like the opposite of what happened. Or I guess it's a version of what happened with Kyle Tucker getting intentionally walked for Yiner Diaz. Where it's like, Yiner Diaz, like, what? You want to face me that badly?
But at least then it's the other team.
Yeah, yes.
It's the opposing team saying, like, hey, I'd rather face Yiner than Tucker, you know, who has a broken leg for 6 months, but not really, but maybe he does, versus your own teammate being like, Machado's not that guy. He's not Greg Kessinger. He's not that dude, okay?
Greg Kessinger is that guy. By the way, of note, I laughed at – not at the misfortune of Ben Gamble. But I like that the Astros put Ben Gamble just on the 10-day injured list with a left fibula fracture. You know what would have been amazing? If the Astros just said this happened with Kyle Tucker. You know what? See how simple it is to just say, oh, yeah, he's got a fractured fibula?
But they didn't say it the day before.
Yeah, I know. But at least they did eventually, you know? At least they did
At least it was one day that they corrected themselves.
And they're still so different. It went from left knee contusion to left fibula fracture.
Yeah, at least it was the left side.
You're right.
It would have been worse if it was like, actually, it's his right leg that's broken.
For a true, serious question, I don't know anatomy. Yeah. I am from a house of learned doctors. I was not one of them. Which one's the fibula? Is that the front? Is that the back? Because there's like two bones in the leg, right?
I think so.
I think the fibula is the top one, tibula is the bottom.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah. Like, it's the tibula. No, it's fibula, knee, tibula.
I like that Sean's pointing so that everyone on the radio can figure that out.
Fibula.
And then look.
That's what you got to watch on YouTube. Yeah,
watch on YouTube and Twitch. Like,
tibula.
You never know what you're
going to
see.
From top to bottom. That's how it goes.
If last week taught you anything, you never know what's going to happen on YouTube and Twitch.
Why?
With my outfit and your outfit.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it got crazy the other day. Mm-hmm. All right. So, look, the Texans are getting glazed largely by the national media, and rightfully so, 2-0, one of only a few teams undefeated after 2 weeks of the season. Defense looked great on Sunday, but we got somebody that's actually got some doubts about the Houston Texans. It's time for a battle red pill.
Heretics dare to question the Houston Texans' greatness.
How dare you?
Is it bullshit?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Or will you take this battle red pill?
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Mina Kimes, one of the biggest fans of the Houston Texans this offseason, not thrilled with something that they've been doing the first couple of games. Here she is on NFL Live before Monday Night Football.
For himself. I mean, Houston got the win, but there was something that frustrated you when you watched this game.
I'm a fan of Bobby Slowak. I think he's a good play caller. I'm going to need him to stop lighting first down on fire, which is, I try not to be dogmatic about early down runs. Sometimes they make sense, pardon me, and there's a sequencing aspect to it. But going into this game, we talked about this last week. The Bears defense is excellent against the run. So it's not surprising they averaged 2.6 yards per carry on first down, and they ran it over and over and over. You're putting your quarterback behind way too much for my taste, which, by the way, this was an issue last year as well, and it continues to be an issue.
I mean, it was something that stood out last year that they would run the ball pretty consistently on first down. But when you have the success that you have in week one, it doesn't. I don't have that reaction to week two.
Are you supposed to, in week two, assume that you're not going to have the same success you did week one because you're going up against a good run defense? And this is an honest question. I actually don't know. Because I think some people subscribe to the idea that we're going to run our game plan no matter what, and others are going to attack you based off of where they think your weaknesses are. I guess in 2024, where we look at the Houston Texans and we see a team that, at least on paper, is capable of beating you by throwing or running, I think you would try to attack where this defense is weak, but given the way that the offensive line has not really been protecting C.J. Stroud, what happens on first down if it's an incompletion? What happens on first down if it's a sack? And yeah, the Texans found themselves in a lot of third down situations and they weren't able to get out of all of them like they were able to do in week one. So maybe it is a little bit better if they're throwing on first down and second down. But I don't know. The way that the pass protection has been these first 2 weeks, the thing that bothers me sometimes about the NFL's analytical community is that there's an assumption that if you do something other than running on first down, you are going to get more yards every single time. And that's just not the case. Sometimes these plays are going to result in losses where a run on first down, yes, boring and not creative, generally is going to get you at least 2 yards.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like you're spot on there where there's just they have this assumption that whether it's a screen pass or a slant or just something easy, not saying you have to chuck it down the field on first down, but like it's just automatically going to have a better result because that's what the nerdy numbers tell you. I just that's where I think analytics, where the media views it very clearly differently than the people on the field and in the locker rooms and in the coaching meetings. But like in baseball, I think we're all kind of on the same page with like advanced analytics and. Where like everyone's just like, hey, just getting on base is important. Home runs and strikeouts are fine. It's better than a single, all that stuff. But in football, I think there's a reason why you haven't seen people going for two all the time, going for on fourth down all the time. That's what the numbers will tell you you're supposed to do. But there's a reason why no one does it. And yeah. There's a reason why no one just completely abandons the run game on first down when it's not working because the numbers tell you to do that.
The numbers are valuable to what you're saying. I think the problem is that there's so many variables on a football field. 22 different variables. And then there's so many given plays over the course of a game. Where in baseball, I mean, for an at-bat, it's two. It's the pitcher and it's the hitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And of course, where it goes and all that stuff, who's a good fielder and all that.
You never know when the umpires will.
You're right. There can be three variables from time to time. But, yeah, it's weird. There is a sort of militant faith that some of the most vocal, analytically wired minds on social media talk about football, and it is, as you heard from Mina there, a little bit dogmatic, and I feel like you can't approach it thinking like this is the only way. And I think that the Texas pass protection's been an issue these first 2 weeks. You know, it's been the biggest issue on offense through 2 weeks. He's been sacked 7 times thus far. You know, multiply that by what? 8.5, right? What are we talking about here? We're talking about 60-plus sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just saying, yes, it makes more sense to throw from time to time against a good Bears defense, but what happens if he's getting sacked? What happens if he's getting hit a little bit more? Sometimes the running game, as boring as it is and uncreative as it is, the safe bet is sometimes okay.
Well, and look what happened the rest of the game. That's why it's always game by game, because you can say, like, yes, like, It makes things easier. But what were the end results of the game besides the sacks? Well, Tank Dell was ineffective and not able to do much in this game. Stephon Diggs was largely ineffective in this game. Dalton Schultz was largely ineffective in this game. So besides Nico Collins, what worked for the Texans offense in week two? They scored 3 points in the second half. Kyme Fairbairn has had to hit 650-plus yard field goals through two games.
Literally a record.
So the idea that the frustration of just he runs the ball too much, I just don't see it. If the offense was clicking and C.J. Stroud and these guys were just moving the ball up and down the field and they kept giving the ball to Joe Mixon on first down or Cam Akers or Damian Pierce and they were getting nothing and they were making life much more difficult for the Texans but they were still having great success, I would say, yeah, like you have a problem here. But I think it's too early in the season to be complaining about that. Also, you're comparing last year to it was C.J. Stroud's rookie year. You don't want to put all the pressure on him last year.
I will say, though, if you can't run the ball and now it's 2nd and 9, guess what? You're putting pressure on your quarterback to drop back for 2 plays.
Yes.
and now the defense knows you're throwing.
Yeah,
that's true.
So part of it is you have to be able to run the ball to run it on first down, and it makes sense. If you're just doing halfback dive just to do it, it's normally not. That's actually worse for you.
I get what you're saying, but sometimes the running back dive is better than an incomplete pass or a sack. And that's what bothers me about the people that say, oh, well, you shouldn't run on first down ever. It's like, well, what happens when you fail on first down?
Yeah, I'm not saying you should never run on first down. I'm just saying that when you can't run and you have a good quarterback,
totally agree.
Throw it.
There's a hyperbolistic way with which some of those people will talk about it, where it is the assumption that running on first down is always dumb. And that's overstating it. But that's how they communicate it. And I think that's why there's as much pushback against those who are nerdy on that side of things. Because they're kind of like with the left in certain ways, a little bit dickish with how they are pushing their mindset on you.
Yeah,
as if it's the only way you should think. Like, if they were actually a little bit more engaging, I think more people would actually embrace it.
Yeah, it's like, it is like the analytics and politics at a lot of times. Like, people miss the gray area. They miss the middle. Like, it's always, you must do this all the time.
And if you're not, you're an idiot.
Yes.
Instead of just saying, like, why not this?
Yeah, like, no, does Bobby Slowick proportionally, like, I was just, like, trying to quickly go through it, but they had there were so many possessions in this game. If you look at their first, seven possessions, or seven first downs in the first quarter, they only threw on two of them. So, proportionately, that is pretty extreme to run the ball on five of the seven first downs. One of those was the reverse to Tank Dell, which they got 14 yards. But, so proportionally, like, yeah, maybe you want to get closer to 50-50. But that's also not what's being said here. It's just like, it does come off of the vibe of just, hey, stop running.
What's funny is, though, that they run it twice more than... Totally different conversation, So it's weird. It's a weird thing to nitpick, but hey, that's what they do. And it's nice to have people keeping the Houston Texans honest, huh? With a little battle red pill. He's Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, we got to relive something hilarious that helped out the Houston Astros. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter that promo code BET975 and you are going to double your initial deposit right away. You get to play with that money right away. Yeah, man. It's awesome. And you can bet on all sorts of different things thanks to MyBookie.ag. We're not just talking blackjack and poker with live dealers, which they have. We're not just talking about football. Texans 2.5-point favorites over the Vikings on Sunday. They never cover. Uh-oh. The Jets, 6-point favorites on Thursday against the Patriots. We're even talking about the presidential election. I'm curious as to how much the odds change every single day. Uh-oh. Here we go again. Donald Trump plus 100 to be the next president. Kamala Harris minus 125. We saw some movement. You can bet on the election, baby. MyBookie.ag. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. Again, it's MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975 for that awesome deposit bonus.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
And they're stealing home. The throw. Got him.
That makes zero sense. You have a 3-0 count, and you're going to try to steal home. Zero sense right there from the Mariners.
Absolutely ridiculous. 3-0, and Justin Turner staring into the dugout as if to say, really? You see, Heel's back was turned, and then Robles took off.
You know you're down bad, and you can't score runs when, with the bases loaded, you're trying to steal home against the New York Yankees. Oh, boy, that was quite a funny moment to see as the Mariners, after another loss, 11-2 to the Yankees. What's going to help more? Four runs or one stolen home run? They're five games back of the Astros, and it's looking more and more far-fetched that they're going to have a chance to catch up.
Yeah, it feels like there was some nerves, I think, on Monday, just because you see it, like it's tightening a little bit, but they do things like this, that trying to steal home with the bases loaded, two outs. And he's like, oh, this is not, it reminds you it's a not serious franchise. Just in anything they do.
I mean, serious people, to quote Logan Roy. I mean, it was a 2-0 game, and this was the bottom of the first inning.
Yeah.
If this was later in the game, I'd kind of get it. Let's go home. This was in the first inning.
Yeah, like you've struggled all day to, you know, to make something happen, to find a way to get the offense going. Like, let's try to be a little creative here. And then, but to do this, just like, it's just a bonehead move. I mean, if you look at the replay, the pitcher, like, yeah, he's bent over and he's like kind of turned the other way, but he has the ball in his hand, and they just tell him to turn around, and it's just this easy throw. Like, it wasn't even that good of a jump.
No,
to try to be this aggressive, it's just stupid teams do stupid things.
How do you bounce back from that too? If you do that in the first inning, I mean, that's you're slashing your tires.
Yeah, it kills all the momentum.
Yeah, like, I mean, is momentum real? I think some people debate it, but yeah, getting punched in the gut in a season where you have been getting punched in the gut regularly and have been just one of the worst teams in the sport for the last couple of months, like that's basically just killing yourself before the game even really gets going. And I mean, look, they've been playing well. They'd won 7 of 10 going into last night's game.
Yeah.
Well, as far as they're concerned, you know, like they're not at rock bottom right now, but after this, what do you do?
No, their season definitely is not, it's not over. I mean, when you look at the standings, I mean, look, the Detroit Tigers are making a massive run at the playoffs right now. The Mariners still have a prayer to make the playoffs even through the wild card. At this point in the season, I mean, they have 77 wins. The Twins have 80. Like, mm-hmm. you're right there. And then you do things like that. I'm with you on the momentum. If I believe in it, I typically believe in it in the negative way. That if you start to do things like this, as you know, your season has unraveled in a major way, that's when the ball just like gets rolling down.
Snowballs.
Yeah.
You seen The Replacements?
Yes.
Keanu Reeves, mm-hmm. his character, Shane Falco, he calls it quicksand.
Yes.
It's just, the more you do, you just keep on sinking and sinking and sinking. Yeah, I'm with you. It seems when bad things happen, they do spiral more often than when something good happens, it means more good is going to happen.
And it doesn't always mean, you know, something's going to spiral. I mean, last night's Astros game is the perfect example. Josh Hader gets, you know, screwed over by the umpires. It's the wild pitch. And then, they tie up the game. You have Jose Altuve getting ejected. You have all these weird things happening. And then there you are with bases loaded and Manny Machado at the plate. And you still find a way to win the game. So, like, that's where I don't always believe in momentum. But for teams like this, I do. Or just things just go bad quick.
Speaking of going bad, things went bad for Orioles reliever Craig Kimbrel. They just DFA'd him.
I mean, that was one of their bigger moves this offseason. I don't really get why we're still trying to do the Craig Kimbrel thing in 2024.
It's been a weird year for the Orioles because they're still having a really good year. They're 84-67, but they brought up their top prospect early in the year. He was awful. Kimbrel, they bring in, not very good. I mean, at least Corbin Burns, I guess, has been good.
Mm-hmm.
Has he been as good as they thought he would be? Probably. But it's been interesting. I don't take them seriously still. And I think it's because of the success the Astros had against them this year.
And things like this. It's why, as weird as the season has been, as bad as the season has been at times, as poor as the offense has been at times for the Houston Astros, the American League still runs through Houston.
It definitely feels that way. I mean, for what it's worth, the Orioles have lost 7 of 9.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't think any of us look at the Yankees with any sort of fear.
And then you have the Guardians, the Royals, the Twins, or the Tigers. Like
of those three, I mean, the Twins were actually fairly tough last season. That was not an easy series by any means. The last series against the Royals, I sort of forgotten about them. Cleveland's the weird one, and it's been a while since you've played them. In fact, I don't even remember when the Astros last played the Guardians.
It was in May.
Yeah, it's been a while.
They won 2 out of 3 on April 30th, May 1st, and May 2nd. They won an extra inning game, then they lost an extra inning game, and then they won 8-2. And then they'll play the last you know, three games of the season. The biggest thing with the Guardians is just it's Emmanuel Clase, their closer. He's absolutely electric and elite. So like that's a guy that you don't want to see in the postseason, but they're still just the Cleveland Guardians. Like I still don't really get it. Like if they're this good of a baseball team or not. No one in the American League frightens me.
Right no now. One.
No. Yeah.
I think it's fair.
I mean, look, it's not a guarantee the Astros will go back to the World Series or even to the ALCS, but none of them are frightening. They're not, you know, they're not what the Astros have been in the past. You know, like, yes, you might face a Yankees lineup with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, which those two guys, it's the most terrifying 1-2 combo in baseball. But what about the other seven guys? Like, what happens after Gerrit Cole, who is scared to throw a baseball to Rafael Devers now? He admitted in a press conference, and then he walked him in the next game. Like, coward.
Damn. Pew, pew, pew. Shot fired. Galan and Georgie's Joe and Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. Up next, 10-minute drill. Got one major quarterback on the injured reserve. Another minor quarterback. Angry. And it's a couple of fun moments in broadcasting featuring maybe the most confusing explanation of what someone would do in a certain situation I've ever heard. And someone trying to pronounce a word that, if pronounced incorrectly, could get you canceled. Galan and George, stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Galan and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Tua Tagovailoa officially on injured reserve for the Miami Dolphins. Only commentary I have on that is good.
Yeah, he's out for a minimum 4 weeks now, and it will probably be longer. And who did they sign? Tyler Huntley?
Yes.
Pro Bowler.
They did. You're right. Tyler Huntley's been not bad in relief before, for what it's worth. Meanwhile, this is also pretty surprising. Jordan Love practicing today for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I thought this was a 4 to 6 week injury. I thought there was a chance the Texans were going to miss Jordan Love.
I did not see that coming.
It's like the inverse of the Astros. Like the Astros are like, hey, not hurt, gone for a while. Some NFL teams are like, really hurt. Just kidding, he's back.
Yeah. On the Texans front, Brevin Jordan, one of their tight ends, goes on injured reserve, so he has to miss the next four games at least.
And they brought in Irv Smith, the tight end.
Yeah,
who they've brought in to be the, I guess, the third tight end.
He's capable.
Yeah,
that's really all I got. He's a capable tight end.
He's just one of those guys that I feel like every year people would take in fantasy because they thought he was going to pop with Joe Burrow.
Yes, he had a couple years of like, hey, look at him. If he can put it together, now he's going to get some targets finally, and then he never really.
He might have some Vikings insight because he was there for a couple of years.
And that would be a very Nick Caserio learned from Bill Belichick move.
Yeah. But Kevin O'Connell's only been there since, because he was there in 2022. Was O'Connell there in 2022?
That might have been year one.
Look, Irv Smith, spy. We got him.
Also, there's a chance he played with Sam Darnold because Sam Darnold's played for so many teams.
Chances are they overlap somewhere.
Yeah.
So there you go on the Texans injury front. This is not surprising, but I always get a kick when some insider puts out a story and you're supposed to be like, whoa, this is a bombshell. But per Jeremy Fowler, Bryce Young, he's pissed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I bet he is.
And I bet you Andy Dalton's happy. Like, that's how it typically works.
I want to thank Jeremy Fowler for that quote. He's pissed. I didn't expect Bryce Young to be pissed. Good to know he's pissed.
I mean, and then the other one I liked was someone said that he was shocked by the news.
Yeah, I think he would be.
Like, yeah, you were drafted first overall.
I would be shocked too.
Like, you got benched, buddy.
It would tell me more about Bryce Young. And I think less of Bryce Young if he, quote, wasn't shocked and, quote, is happy with being benched. Like, that would have been more eye-catching.
Definitely. Fowler also said that he doesn't get the sense Carolina plans to trade him right now. Continuing to go around the NFL... In the 10-minute drill, this is something that happened during the Manning cast on Monday. Matt Ryan, you might see now as one of the talking heads on the CBS studio show. They have moved on from Boomer Esiason, from Phil Sims. So they bring in another quarterback who recently played the game. I feel like Matt Ryan got caught in a, I was a successful quarterback, Schmenzer measuring competition with Eli Manning and Peyton Manning on the Manning cast. When he talks about what he would do at the end of the game, try to, if you understand what he was trying to tell the entire country right here, please help us out.
I was always in these situations, guys, like, as soon as we do this, let's get the ball back, let's get into field goal range, kick that field goal as fast as possible, and then let's go for that onside kick and try and just save as much time as you can for that end of game Hail Mary. Like, to me, it's that's your only chance now.
What?
Like, it's the hold three, here. So you can hold him to a field goal. You hold him to a field goal, you're just down six.
You got to hold him here.
You could tell when there was that pause, Matt was trying to win him over. If you're Matt Ryan and you're with Eli Manning and you're with Peyton Manning, even though you've won an MVP before, you probably feel, given that they both had two Super Bowls apiece and one of them was considered to be one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Yeah.
You probably feel like you got to overcompensate a little bit. And I felt like you could hear Matt Ryan doing it when these two guys did not listen to what he had to say and sort of just pounced on it right away. There's that one pause. I bet Ryan regrets having visited, and I bet he won't be back.
I mean, at some point, they take so many shots at Belichick and each other. You got to start, you know, getting to the point where you can take shots at your guests. How do you not say? How do you not say? Well, that's why you guys lost 28-3.
Yeah,
like doesn't know how to manage a game clock.
Yeah,
go for an onside kick. Do you guys see the onside kicks that happened last weekend? They were a joke.
Yeah. So what he wanted was, instead of the Falcons driving to score a touchdown, which they eventually did, what he wanted was to get to, like, the 35-yard line, kick a field goal, and then onside kick for a Hail Mary.
Yeah. That's how you win football games.
I think he wanted them to allow the touchdown so that that could happen. So it would be more time on the clock for them to do that. I think that was what he was trying to say.
The Falcons were on defense?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think he
wanted to be down 10.
Yes. Yes.
Instead of 6.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I think he was trying to say. But again, I don't know because he didn't do a great job. But I think that's what Eli and Peyton thought, because they were like, what? You stop him here.
Now this is like the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it was already bad when it was what Sean and I thought it was. But now that I rethink the clip and what their reaction was, and when it happened, I think you're right, which is 10 times worse. It's like, the only time you allow a touchdown is when you're playing Madden, and this would work, actually.
But yeah, I mean, the onside kick in Madden just as hard as in real life.
I know, they ruined it. It's not good anymore.
I actually kind of like this now. I kind of think that this, much like how we enjoy when Peyton Manning has to watch terrible quarterbacking, I would like for something like this, where you just come in and you have just terrible situational awareness, and Peyton Manning has to, like, be nice about, wait, nah, I'm not sure if I would let them score a touchdown here. I would love for him just to have to deal with, like, kindergarten level football takes, and just have him have to deal with it.
I mean, it would have been great if Belichick came back in and was like, this is why you guys...
Yeah, just jump back in the Zoom call.
Yeah, just so you could take another shot at the Falcons.
Sure, you don't want to take a sack here? All right, later.
I kind of hope J.J. Watt brings this up and makes fun of him on Sunday.
Man.
Since they're together on the CBS show.
I'm with you, but those CBS shows, I mean, all the NFL pregame shows, they're just not good. I really don't watch any football pregame shows anymore.
No, I'm out on them as well.
College game day.
The halftime is, like, fine. Like, the CBS halftime is fine. It's just highlights.
Well, but the games are always so staggered, just like the pace of them, that at least in the noon window, you can still just flip on Red Zone.
Yeah.
And there's still highlights happening.
Just leave Red Zone on.
Yeah.
The red zone has changed the game. It's a little bit too jumpy for me because
this weekend was tough.
Yeah, I was getting mad about the Seahawks Patriots game not being shown on red zone because I went to go join some friends to watch this game at a place that I was of the belief had the game on, and it wasn't on. And I was like, damn it, I have to like wait for red zone updates of Patriots Seahawks, which went to overtime. Anyway, yeah. Whatever. No one cares about that.
But the, well, on a side note, with that, the like 10 games at noon.
Yeah, the 10
versus 3 at 3 o'clock.
8-5. 8-5. That's what we need.
I think they thought, hey, listen, we want as many eyeballs on Chiefs Bengals for the national broadcast.
Sure.
I mean, that's what it is, though. There's probably very small areas where you could watch the other games that were on in that window.
Mm.
I have not listened to this yet. I purposefully did not listen to this yet because I want to know what happened and I want to know what he did. Jackson Smith Najigba, wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks, has a very difficult to pronounce name. Why are you shaking your head?
You got it wrong.
I got it wrong? What am I supposed to be saying there?
Njigba.
Oh. I thought I just said that. Okay. Jackson you Smith. Not even going to try that again.
Okay.
I'm very curious as to how Chris Mad Dog Russo pronounced his name.
The Seahawks blocked a 48-yard field goal with 4 minutes left, which would have put the Pats up 6. That was a big play in this game. Smith played well, and his receivers, Metcalf caught 10. Jackson Smith, Najigba, the kid from Ohio State, he caught 12 more.
So I guess it was worse, me or Russo?
Russo was way worse.
Way worse.
You were pretty close.
He had an O in there.
Yeah. Russo's is way worse.
Could you do it again? I want to get this right next time I say it.
Njigba. Yeah.
Not okay. Okay. Yeah. I know. Now I know what I said wrong.
Russo's is.
When you guys said this, I thought that it was going to be like borderline cancel worthy.
Nope. No.
I will say that last word scares the ever-living bejesus out of me as a broadcaster.
Well, it could be. I mean, we know there's worse. There's that the kid who got an offer from Sam Houston.
Noah
K. I can't say the rest of it. Because it spells a word that white.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because
it's K.
Yeah.
It's K, word white people can't say. I'm like, can't say that.
Jackson Smith, Najigba.
Njigba.
I don't know where he got the ooh.
Yeah, it's the ooh that he added in there.
Maybe he did that on purpose because he was like, you know what? I don't trust myself to pronounce this name. I'm going to just butcher it completely.
Miss big.
Miss very big.
Yeah. Miss to go viral.
Listen, people are talking about Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Sure, he talked about it on First Take.
Did a whole segment about it.
What made you mad?
Yeah, what made Russo mad? Pronouncing names! I don't know how to pronounce names!
What happened to Smith?
Why doesn't he have just one last name? What's up with these millennial parents and two last names? All right.
That's like Josh Allen.
No,
they call him Josh Hines Allen.
Yeah.
It keeps confusing me.
No, I like that's less confusing than Josh Allen and Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, now there's like a differentiation, but I'm like, every time during the Jacksonville game and the Cleveland game, they would say his name. I was like, who?
Hines Allen. You're like,
it's right. It's the same.
Where'd they
guy.
Find this guy?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait. He was a tough eye pick.
He is Sean behind the glass. He is Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George. That's our 10-minute drill. You want to talk about the Astros' wild win over the Padres last night? You can. So many ankles to dissect in that one. And I can't believe this is considered breaking news in sports. In the heart of football season of all times, what are we talking about? A bomb, if you will. Stick around.
This Sunday, Sean, myself, BMAC, will be live from 10 to noon at LaBerge Lake Charles this Friday. They officially do the grand opening of ESPN Bet. It's going to look brand new. They were painting it and putting up the signage last time we were there. From the bar stools to the kiosks, everything's going to look different. Chef Lyle is rolling out a new menu. We tried the hot and honey sriracha wings while we were there last time. They were absolutely incredible. I can't wait to get back this weekend and have a full college football Saturday, a full NFL Sunday of games and watching them and betting on them on their 24-foot video wall. It's always, always a good time. And look, and before you go, there's things you can do as well. Cover 5 is a new free-to-play game that you can find in your app store. It's super easy. You download it. You join a league. This week, I'm in the NFL and the college football contest, and you pick 5 games against the spread. If you get it right, however many points they cover by, you gain that in the positive. If they don't cover, you get negative. It's free-to-play, easy to make some picks and just see what's going on and keep up with college football and in the NFL. When you want to leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it like I do at LaBerge Lake Charles.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All my homies drinking liquor, tears in everybody's eyes. Basketball fans cry because Adrian Wojnarowski has retired from breaking basketball to go be the general manager of St. Bonaventure. I don't even know where the hell that school is. I guess he went to it.
The Bonnies.
Good luck. I complain about this all the time, and I understand that technically we are a part of their family, right? We are ESPN Houston. We are at ESPN Houston on YouTube. We are at ESPN 975 on Twitch. We are also on the airwaves, 97.5. Mm-hmm. 92.5, 97.9, HD2. But for the love of Tom Brady, why do we keep getting push notifications from the ESPN app for the stupidest stuff? I do not need, one, a breaking news from a prominent baseball writer, Jeff Passan, that Adrian Wojnarowski is leaving to go coach some basketball school. I don't even know where it is. Two, I did not need a push notification on my phone from the ESPN app that some guy's retiring. I don't need this. I don't need this. I'm not going to get it. Joe's not going to get it. Sean's not going to get it when we retire. 99.999999% of people in this industry are not going to get it when they retire. So some information merchant, I'm supposed to care when this guy walks away? I don't. Nothing Adrian Wojnarowski has done over the course of his career is impressive to me. Congratulations. You literally licked the boots of agents. And we're acting like this is a big deal. Who cares? Somebody else is going to break the news.
I also just don't get why, like, specifically he got it. He's only been with the company for 7 years. Like, this isn't Chris Berman. This isn't Mike Greenberg.
It's not Bob Lee.
It's Woj. He's been there for 7 years.
Mike Greenberg.
He still feeds his competitor sources.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
I've heard that him and Shams are on a group chat with these agents, and that's why they break news at the same exact time.
Do they alternate? You got this one, I got the next one.
Because they were bought. Like, because Shams was his protege.
I thought they were beefing now, though.
No, I've heard that's not true.
I think that's just a internet thing where
things that we want because these people are completely boring. He's like boring.
Is Shams gonna?
They let him on TV, by the way. Are you serious? Look at him.
It was so bad.
First
on TV.
Off, look at him. Second, listen to him. I mean, what are we doing?
Are we gonna get a push notification when ESPN hires Shams?
You think that's the next move?
Yeah, for sure. Because his contracts are up. Someone said he's done with the Athletics. So
that'd be very funny.
But okay. In defense of the ESPN app for a second here, they're trying really hard to make people care about the WNBA. So I get why they're sending you push notifications about cool things that Caitlin Clark does.
You know what? I'd rather get it about something Caitlin Clark does.
I know.
I'd rather get it about the other thing that happened yesterday that I got a push notification for. Brittany Griner got in a fight with some other random WNBA player. WNBA, this league, fights happen.
That's a good push notification.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But this?
No.
An employee retiring?
No, I don't need that.
They tweeted out a photo, and they made a graphic with, like, a basketball jersey.
Did he die?
Like,
okay. Oh, he did. But I'm supposed to care. Okay.
So when I first saw the tweet, I thought he died.
Yeah.
Because it was so long. And then I had to read it, like, 3 times because I was like, what is he doing? He's – because, like, this job's too stressful for him?
Look. I bet
so now he wants to deal with NIL?
This is probably the thrill of a lifetime for him. And on that note, I actually am pretty happy. He gets to go do this. But, like, I don't care. I don't need to know about this. He's gone? Cool. Bye. I don't care. It's weird that this, and I wouldn't have cared about it. I would have said, like, okay, we'll see.
That's interesting.
St. Bonaventure, never going to be good, ever. Never. Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever. Congratulations. You might make the tournament once in the next 5 years or something like that. Maybe. Maybe.
He's the general manager and basically joining the staff of a coach who's been there since 2007 and has made the NCAA tournament 3 times. Mm-hmm.
From the 409, this is almost as bad as spending a segment on it, LOL. No, see, I need to do this. I need to do this. This is me talking back to the mothership, okay? You need to stop. You need to stop.
I want to get the Kendrick Perkins assigned a 2-year extension with the ESPN notification.
At this point now, I do feel like they just created problems for themselves is what they've done.
Yeah.
Because now, when McAfee does something big, they're going to start sending push notifications.
By the way, they
now,
did
to
that.
Be fair, I did just get an email.
They did it on Saturday.
From ESPN. Yeah. From PR asking if we want to have Mike Greenberg on the show.
No, absolutely not. I would rather die. I'm not kidding. I'd rather die. And honestly, that's the next push notification is when Mike Greenberg takes over another show from somebody who's more entertaining than him. I read an awful announcing article today. It was saying some people like Mike Greenberg, they don't need to study the film to be entertaining when they talk football. He's entertaining? What? Mr. Milk Toast himself? Oh, my God. Anyway, sorry. We work for the mothership.
We should have him on.
No, we don't.
We should have him on and talk about Woj memories.
Should I text Woj right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, Paul is unimpressed by you.
Be like, congrats.
He's like, who's
excited
Paul?
To see what your new chapter holds.
Yeah, I'm not a big Woj guy, so he's kind of a jerk to me.
I just don't get, I don't get the celebration of ESPN's personalities, and one of them leaves, one of the few relevant ones left. And why would you advertise that to anybody?
I think it's a big, this is where they think that NBA Twitter, the rest of the world cares about NBA Twitter, where on NBA Twitter, Woj is such a huge character of that world and the Woj and Shams scoreboard every offseason of who breaks what news. This is where it's so people care about this. It's nope, just a handful. Just a handful of people on the internet care about this. You don't need to send this to everyone who has a ESPN app on their phone.
King of all Twitches says, just turn off the push notifications. No, I need to leave it on. Because I like every now and then to be reminded by how mad they make me, which is clearly what a crazy person does. But I realize that when I go into this mode, eyes rolling into the back of my head mode over stupid stuff like this, I know I'm in my bag, if you will. But there was Joe earlier. You talked about how Pat McAfee gets one. I got a push notification for Pat McAfee making fun of that kid who missed the field goal before the game on College Game Day.
Oh yeah,
I got a push notification for that.
Yeah,
I figured Pat McAfee was shot or something like that. That would make sense for a push notification.
I have a push notification from 46 minutes ago. Where it says, Manning in the Heisman convo, Pat McAfee explains whether he believes if Arch Manning could contend for the prestigious award.
It's at least that's a sports topic.
Kind of.
You know what's so interesting, though, is I didn't get the Woj one, and I didn't get that one.
Well, I probably got it because I have Texas as one of my favorite teams.
Oh, that's right. I don't.
He did the horns down again. Mr. Aggie over here.
I know.
Forever now. Aggie till I die.
Forever.
I got two.
Because they lost to Notre Dame. That's why. That's the funniest part is that they lost.
I mean, I'm already looking up areas to get my jersey for next year when they play in South Bend. Half A&M, half Notre Dame.
I like it.
If you don't think I'm wearing that.
I like it.
In
honor of Brady Quinn, yeah. It'll be Quinn Manziel. It'll say Quinzel.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. It's Gallant and George, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. I'm thankful for umpires in September baseball because they make it entertaining again. And honestly, I'm back in the blue again one more time as we talk about last night's Astros victory. It's Gallant and George. Stay put.
ESPN, 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.